Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now,
Buzz. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, love. You feeling the love in this corner?
Yeah, of course. Your love is blind, man.
I'm feeling your positive energy.
Yeah,
I'm of the pessimistic nature when it comes to love on this side of the table.
Why?
You know, one of us has to be.
Yeah, that's why you're in the catbird seat moderating today, making sure we're the balance.
We're gonna give you balance. We're going to give you hot takes. We're going to give you everything about Love is Blind Episode 4. Welcome. You are tuned in to the Love is Blind After Show. And yeah, we're here on AfterBuzz TV. We're so excited to break down this episode because, man, things got juicy.
Finally.
So can we say that finally?
Yeah.
It's about time. Like, I was feeling the love and everything, but you know with these shows.
The love and everything? That's the whole show.
Yeah, but like, love is not black and white. It's messy sometimes.
True.
There are shades of gray, and we got some shades of gray this
absolutely,
episode.
Absolutely. I was on board with this only because we saw the couples now, and you want to know how much of the pods were really part of the whole thing, part of the whole experiment, or really, can personalities come through the pod doors, or with the fact you didn't see anyone, it'd be a different personality. And we got some answers tonight.
We're definitely going to get into that. But before we do, we got to let the people know who we are.
Of course.
If you are tuned in for the first time, hello. My name is Christine Alexis. And I'm not doing this lovely recap alone. I'm joined by the amazing Flobo Voice.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Mike Feeling is actually on assignment. We'll be back soon. Another episode.
He'll be with us next for the next recap. Definitely love his hot takes. Mike Feeling is our other panelist.
He's just so sensual. It's like, you know, our feelings are like a crux, you know?
He also is just a cynic like myself. He hosts Married at First Sight and Survivor after shows here on AfterBuzz. We have a ton of reality dating shows like this to for you to pick from.
Yeah.
But tonight, we're going to get into this episode. So where we're at with the couples, we start off this episode the morning after the couples who've decided to get engaged. They went to a romantic resort in Mexico and spent the night together.
Yeah. I think that was interesting how the night in the last episode, we saw how they were reaching their night. And you were like, well, I wonder if everything's going to end with some sort of like, you know, physical action and some not. So see how everyone woke up the day after. You got a chance to be in that little journey, that little mystery. Did they do it? Did they not do it? How did they do it? You know?
Yeah. And the episode answered those questions like right away.
Yeah, exactly.
We weren't left
That's what's
wanting
great,
for much.
About it. Yeah.
Yeah. We pick up right away with Kelly and Kenny, who we learned last episode decided to take things a little bit slower in their relationship and opted not to have sex.
That is fine and that is noble, but them as a couple still kind of reads as pretty vanilla to me. I don't know if there's anything wrong with it. They're great. They have a good chemistry. They look like they would have met in a bar or someplace else, but it's always like, oh yeah, they're the couple I always forget about. Like,
yeah, I mean, they're your like average, and I say average with love, just like your average everyday kind of couple. I say this also because, you know, these shows, they try to cast like these ridiculously good looking people who happen to be single because, you know, part of this voyeuristic shows, we want to see pretty people fall in love or fight or not, whatever.
True.
And they're two attractive people, but they're, I feel like they very much like are on the same level.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can say
totally in sync. Yeah.
They're on the same level in terms of like what they're looking for, the type of vibe that they bring to a relationship. As we said, they didn't sleep together, but you can tell from where we meet them, like in bed, they've done some kissing, some snuggling.
Right.
They've still explored physical chemistry without going all the way.
True. And unlike the other couple that did not have sex today, it was definitely a mutual decision. It was like, I like you and I like you, but we're doing this together. And that's always fine if you and your partner's in sync.
If you're on the same page, yeah.
But if you're not, then it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, yeah, for the most part, they seem pretty solid. I did write down that Kenny seemed a little bit robotic in expressing himself in his little side interview. But as the episode went on, I realized he's just being like super respectful and just like very straightforward about his feelings. And there's nothing wrong with that either.
So there's a whole big debate about the kind of passion you should have for your mate, right? There's always that thing of, well, you should have a lot of heat and then be like, you know, flowing hair and gripping each other close. But those tend to flame out a little quicker. But you have like these couples that have that slow build, and relatively speaking, because we're on a reality show where people are getting married in 3 weeks or so. But they seem to be like the more of the slower burn. I mean, the more time with each other, and you see them on the beach later on, we'll get to that too. Is that they're actually building a little bit more of that foundation, which is great. It just doesn't make the most interesting television show. That's all.
That is fair. I mean, that kind of really wraps them up, because even when they enjoy the beach day together, it's just kind of more of the same. Mm-hmm. Them kind of just, again, talking about completing each other and, you know, finding what they're looking for in the other person. So.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
They seem pretty good to go. We're going to go ahead. Then we check in with Barnett and Amber.
Yes.
Yes. And it's clear that these two have a ton of physical chemistry from the onset.
Yeah. Can I say that they remind me of like a couple that I went to college with? They're just all over each other. Super athletic dude on the baseball team. That cheerleader too. Like I like that. There's a lot of heat in that one too, because they were talking about physical attraction for the longest time. And whether you like them or not, they're going to be like the center of what happens thereafter. There's so many storylines and threads from them. Then I'm on board. Kind of the opposite of Kenny and Kelly. It's like, what happens here?
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, as much as I think Barnett is a total F-boy on the low,
what?
I love that he's on the show, because it's giving us some juicy tea.
Isn't he not what people want? He's tall, semi-athletic, smooth, rumbly voice. Is that like the check the boxes we check? Is he not like the ideal guy?
No, I mean, he's a bro, but he's like an attractive guy, very conventionally attractive. We were watching this episode with our producer, and he said something that stuck out to me. He said Barnett kind of reminds him of like a Chris Hemsworth type.
Yeah.
That like tall, brooding, got the dark features. And I was like, oof. Yeah. I see it now. I get it. He's like a brunette Chris Hemsworth. Like darker haired.
I mean, I'm a Hemsworth fan, and I just feel like it's the comparison's fair.
All right. We're it's a gratuitous comparison.
Shout out to Thor, man. He's my man. All right.
Shout out to gratuitous. That was my SAT word of the day.
Oh, we should do more of those. All right. Yeah. Cool.
We love our vocabulary on this panel. But again, Amber's a big fan. She said that they feel like they've known each other for years. They have this very like playful dynamic. It's not totally all serious all the time, but not super lovey-dovey either all the time. Feels like, I mean, for now, things are okay.
Is lovey-dovey bad? I'm sorry to cut off you, but is lovey-dovey, because I feel like there's so many people my age, or even a little younger, that say, when they're in a relationship, I'm not like that. I'm not like, I love you, I'm like this. And it's always different, but everyone says that, so it's the same. Is it not being the more authentic, being yourself with someone, spending time with them? Or do we want that kind of conventional, like, you know, like, affection and caressing?
I don't know. I think it only becomes a conversation when you feel like it's being like manufactured or forced. Some people, like, you know, we all have different love languages. For me, my top two are definitely words of affirmation and physical touch.
Right.
So I would be the person who needs all the I love yous and the caresses. Like, that's directly feeding into like what stimulates me.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, yeah, I think it kind of gets a bad rep to some people, because sometimes it can be used to, like, just kind of, you know, like, for fluff. Like, that because there's no other substance to relationship, you know? Like, you feel like someone's just complimenting you all the time, but the bond underneath those words needs to be there, too.
Fair. But in Amber and Barnett's case, did it seem authentic, in your opinion?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's authentic for Amber.
Okay, fair.
I will say, and we can talk about their beach date too, because they also hang out at the beach. I think all the couples really hung out on the beach today, except for also Janina as well and Damien. Yeah. They did a couples massage instead, which we'll get to later, as well as our special segment, which we have coming up after
teasing.
We get through the episode, so stay tuned for that. But back to Barnett and Amber. I wrote that down because I feel like I just get the vibe that Amber is, like, way more into Barnett than he's into her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm not alone in that.
I feel like, yes, I think if you had to, like, measure the amount of being into each other, definitely Amber's more into Barnett. And I think that's totally his type. And when you have someone at your type, you let the world know. I do think that Barnett did not choose wrong. I think he's happy with Amber's mm-hmm. choice. But I do think that if they were to be that couple, Barnett would be the kind of guy who's like, yeah, you know, your mom was cute. And I said yes. Whereas Amber's like, oh, I glowed up. I got real. Barnett. You know what I'm
that's
saying?
That's real as hell. Yeah. I also feel like put those two in the real world amongst other people, and I don't think he would have, like, been so quick to pick her.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would have been, like, maybe after the other busty girl at the bar didn't, you know, wasn't feeling it, then he's like, oh, but her friend's cute type thing. Yeah. Like,
wow. I just love your characterization of this guy being like an F-boy, being like, hey,
being
busty
so
bartender.
I'm sorry. Like,
that's fine.
You know, I watch a lot of reality TV.
Yeah, so. There's villains in that, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of a lot of TV, we have so many different TV shows that we cover here at AfterBuzz TV. Literally, pick your flavor. We probably have it.
True.
Between AfterBuzz TV's main channel, The Popcorn Talk, and Black Hollywood Live, we cover everything that's on TV. That's why we're the ESPN of TV talk. So if you want to help us out and show your love and appreciation for everything that we do for you, it's a two-way street. Give us a like, a thumbs up, a five-star review on iTunes, whatever works best for you. So we know you're here with us and you appreciate what we're putting out. And we love you guys.
Aww.
Oh, I know. See, I do love love. I love you.
There wasn't a debate. Actually, it kind of was a small debate, but now I realize you love us.
All right, Flobo. Let's move on. Yeah. Let's now check in with Giannina and Damien, who we knew from last episode were gonna get it in.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Thankfully.
Thankfully, she flat out told Damien that she was the dessert on their evening and there was no need for a final course because it was her, and they tore each other's clothes off and had the wildest night at the resort, probably, at least from the way Giannina described.
I guess so. I mean, hey, she says she was, quote unquote, I'm so happy right now, in one of the most weirdest shots of the entire episode of her having this interview on top of him during his massage. You know what? Sometimes you want that kind of heat, because here's a guy that was being respectful almost to a fault, and you know, you found someone who really likes you attractively. Now, you can say, is it that she's attracted to him, or it's been /368 or 435 days?
I'm so glad you brought that up.
I'm not sure, but there is a physical attraction there.
Yeah, let's dive into them a little bit, because I do see the physical attraction.
Yeah.
But the fact that she keeps bringing up the fact that she hasn't had sex in so long.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, it's like when you're hungry, the first thing you eat tastes good, doesn't it?
I wouldn't know.
It almost comes off that way a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because I personally feel like, I mean, they're both attractive, but I wouldn't have placed them together personally.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if the intensity that Giannina is bringing right now is going to wear off after she's potentially maybe had her physical fill.
And that is something that I was thinking about, with her counting the days and saying she went to the beach to have the waves slap her in her ass and all that in the last episode. And the guy is doing his job. I mean, you think he's fine? I mean, there's a very, if I could be cynical myself, just a little bit, there's a bit of a trophy wife aspect to Giannina on this kind of case. So I understand that. But I am kind of worried that, like you were saying, that after, you know, first 2 months, 3 months, even meeting the families, being like, that was great in Mexico, but I want something else.
Yeah, Giannina, I mean, they could very well work out. But she strikes me as the type of young woman who, because I say young because I think she's 25.
Yeah.
Who, business owner. Yeah, she's a business owner. You can tell she's driven. She's outspoken. She's very confident. She has no problem asking for what she wants.
True.
I also feel like she's someone who I can see dating around a little bit more. I can see her still exploring her young, hot body and, like, just being out there. I don't know. I mean, this is also a very surface-level interpretation of her. She could very well be ready for marriage. Nothing about her appearance should deter me from thinking that. But just from what we've seen from her personality thus far, I feel like she's got a couple more years in the game to, like, play the field.
Yeah, especially in the episode one or two when she says she pushes people away when they feel like they open up to her. She's okay with doing that. I mean, you just don't get rid of those feelings when you meet someone. Sometimes it can still be there.
Yeah, and it's hard to go from, like, never letting anyone in to, like, full commitment. Like,
right.
It does, at least from what she's told us so far, there doesn't seem to be, like, a midpoint there. Like, maybe she had, like, a semi-long relationship. We don't know. Right now, she's giving it her all with Damien. And they enjoyed a nice little couple's massage, even though it was awkward.
It was pretty awkward, yeah.
Then after them, we check in with Lauren and Cameron, our swirl couple.
Hashtag bonnet love, what's up?
Hashtag bonnet love.
Because you were all about having the bonnet. You're like, oh, yes, the bonnet. And I was like, for real? Can you explain the?
Can we explain, so for our Oh God, you just made me laugh so hard. But so for our viewers who aren't black, honestly, this is actually gonna be for the black women who are watching our channel right now. Anyone who has textured hair that needs to sleep with a bonnet on can understand this moment. And I honestly have to credit Love is Blind for keeping this in.
Right.
And to Lauren for being so transparent about her blackness and everything that she's feeling with this show, despite being probably prompted to say it by a producer. We find them in bed and she has her bonnet on. And that's something that as a black woman, like you think about when you're getting intimate with somebody, because we need to protect our hair at night so that doesn't look crazy the morning after. It's not safe to sleep on just any surface with your hair. And a lot of the times you sacrifice that with a guy you don't know. Like, let's say you're casually dating someone. You don't know if you're like there with them yet to kind of let down your guard. Like, that's one of the most intimate ways that you can see a woman, I think, with her hair just being in its natural state. And Cameron was, like, so here for it.
Yeah.
He was like, yes, keep the bonnet on.
Is he, like, your favorite now? Like, Cameron's so understanding. He's cute.
You know, Cameron.
He's the anti-Barnett. I just wanted to say that I watched the scene. I was like, I didn't think much of it. But all I heard was the yes in the back of the room. And I saw you all about it. So props to that. But, no, that couple definitely has a lot of chemistry. They're talking about the future. And they dabble with kids and meeting families, which is definitely something that's going to happen in a future episode. Mm. But they're actually looking forward to it. So that's always a good sign when you sit with someone thinking about handling life's roadblocks together, even in a casual situation. That means you're a lot more further ahead than being like, what are we doing here? I don't know. What are we doing?
Yeah, they seem to be the only couple thus far who are really forward thinking, like really having those tough conversations about how this is going to play out in the real world, aside from Diamond and Carlton, but we'll get to that later.
Body can't save them.
Oof, nothing can save them. but I do appreciate that we get this sense of seriousness. They're definitely the more serious couple on this show. And every time they talk with each other, we learn something new about, like, what they really appreciate about each other. Mm-hmm. Cameron got really candid about, he said that he wants a relationship with mutual respect, and he didn't have that before, and he feels that with Lauren. So it's good to know where he's coming from as a guy.
Yeah.
And, again, Lauren, you know, she opens up, she says, I used to think men were all dogs, but Cameron's different. So it seems like they're, at least from what they're saying, they're really, like, trying to shed whatever preconceived notions they have about relationships.
True.
And just, like, organically give this a shot.
Yeah, and that's when you know you have someone that's really, really on the team, right? We, over time and years with our past experiences, we have, like, this lock around our hearts. And when you find that person that breaks the key open, you're like, wait, you are not a jerk, and I'm still, what's going on? And having that time to learn more about that person doesn't feel like you're fly by night. So props to that, and props to being open as an adult to saying, hey, you are the one I see myself with moving forward.
Yeah. I love that. And they also, just so we can settle the score of who's having sex and who's having not, they did have sex.
Yeah.
Seemed like it went really well.
She was touching his nipples last episode. I hope they did. I'm done. All right, see you tomorrow.
I wonder how she fared with his chest hair that she kept making such a big deal about.
Yeah, man. Shot of taco meat. It was crazy.
Did she cornrow his chest? Sorry. That was a lot.
Chest bonnet.
Chest bonnet. Oh, my God. That would be... I mean, I think in that case, you just put on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I would.
We're going off the rails. But you know, we gotta have fun with the show.
Yeah.
We gotta just take it there. All right. We check in with Mark and Jessica as well. They are one of the two couples who decided they are also gonna wait before being intimate with each other.
True.
It's a decision.
Was it a mutual decision?
It's a decision that's feeling like has a lot more weight to it now that we've heard more about how Jessica really feels, right?
Man, there's two things, and we'll get to this later on. I feel like Amber has come out as a clear villain, but Jessica is the most inadvertent villain in this. Just dragging Mark along, saying, oh, I just want to work things out and work things out. And poor Mark, remember last episode, we teased about this in the trailer. He's out there, you know, shirt all off, thriller pose, on his side, waiting for that first, I guess not consummation because I'm not married, but you know what I'm saying.
That moment.
And now he's basically getting gamed because he's thinking to her, okay, I don't want to force through anything, which is the gentleman thing to do. But as you're seeing her body language, as he's acting, especially later on when she sees Barnett, it's like, I don't think she's into you, bro. And that's your fiance.
Yeah. It's not your girlfriend. It's your fiance. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, just in regards to them waiting to have sex, like, that's its own decision. Like, True. You can totally, that's your prerogative if you want to wait. I guess what makes it like a little more suspect with her is just because we can tell it's very obvious that she seems almost like let down by his physical appearance.
Yes.
She's mentioned it enough, or they've shown us clips of her mentioning it enough where you get the sense that she's like dissatisfied, almost that she's settled.
Yeah.
It becomes way more apparent later on in the episode that the physical connection is stronger with someone else.
She did. I mean, it's not to cut you off, but she did settle. Yeah. And it's weird because it's a show where you can't see anyone's face, right? She had Barnett ready to go. And he's like, I'm not sure. And she's like, no, I need a decision now. Went back to someone she basically cast aside. And I'm not saying she should wear less to bed, but it is telling she's wearing an oversized t-shirt on this first night with her fiance, where almost everyone on the island is like, you know, wearing something that's consummate to a bed, like or pajamas or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's not comfortable. And that's something that you can't, like, ignore if you're going to marry someone, if you're not comfortable with them.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to be, at the very least, a slower burn with them to hopefully get there if they do make it. Yeah, you bring up a good point. They also spent some time at the beach where they talked a little bit more about balancing each other out and what they're looking for, what their desires.
But again, here's the flip side of that, though.
Yeah.
Do we blame Jessica, though? Isn't that human nature to be like, what if I had this body, I had this personality, what if someone else?
Yeah. No, and it's such a realistic emotion to have. It's because we're in this environment and we're judging these couples based off of the premise of the show and where we're at that we can kind of knock her for it. But in reality, you should be taking this much time to decide if physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, life-wise, you're matched with this person
right
before going all the way. So she's not wrong, but it's just hard because of the way the show's set up. It feels that much more wrong that she already said yes and then is now seeming like she's backtracking. And it feels even more weird because she got so mad that someone else did that to her.
Right, right.
You know?
Hypocritical.
I mean, what'd you say?
Hypocritical.
Hypocritical. Yeah. Oh, but she's struggling. Okay, we can't avoid it anymore. We have to get into the tea about Diamond and Carlton.
Man.
What was your thoughts on this? Because
yeah,
I was shook.
I really thought, let's go backwards. I really thought they were going to have their argument, they're going to walk away, and then not say make up immediately, but at least have like a counseling session or work it out. But what ended up happening was, like adults, it started off pretty civil. Hey, this happened last night. I wasn't really feeling it.
You went too far. I went too far. Let's talk it out.
Let's talk it out. And I'm like, wow, that's more than I would have done. Okay, great. But what happened was a double reversal of who was betrayed and who was a victim and who was right and who was wrong. And we got a drinks thrown, we got rings thrown, we got homosexual humor, we got wig humor, and then it went bam, two different directions. So here's my SAT word. I genuflected. I kneeled down. I said, what did I just see? What did I just see with this couple?
It just caught me off guard, honestly. Yeah. Like, we were just chugging away. I'm like, okay, we're going to check in with people. I knew that there was going to be some residual anger left from the night before, but I did not expect the show to kind of take this turn. It almost felt like we were watching a different show for a hot second.
In a good way.
In a good way, though. I personally enjoyed it. I think a little tension makes things spicy. but you really, you know, summarize everything that happened between them. But I do want to get into some things that they said because...
Please.
Some things I just really could not get behind.
I saw you squinting hard at the monitor where Carlton was talking.
Because, the way we understood this conversation, it was clear that when Carlton made his reveal to Diamond that she needed some time to think about it and just sleep on it. It was a heated conversation very late at night after they probably had some drinks.
Yeah. And Carlton looked, he was remorseful at first.
He did seem remorseful, but that quickly changed because Carlton seemed remorseful after the, you know, spending the night apart after their reveal. Diamond, you know, is seen on screen saying that she says straight up that his confession will never change how she feels about him, but she feels that she needs to talk to him.
Yeah.
So she's already going into this with the mindset of working this out.
Right.
It sounds to me like she just needs to be heard. Last night was about hearing Carlton out. He had a lot to say, but now she has a lot to say. Instead,
that's fair.
Diamond isn't met with the same, I think, openness that she gave him. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as she started to verbalize her feelings about, you know, she very clearly said what we were thinking, that she just wished that she knew up front. She wished that she wishes that Carlton told her about his sexuality while they were still in the pods so that she can just process it and make a decision from there. But he immediately gets defensive when she says that.
Right.
He immediately says, this is what threw me off a little bit. He gets defensive about her reaction and says it was never a problem with other women, but then says that he decided to take that strategy of telling her this in that way because people have walked away from him before right. and left him. So right. I was so confused. I'm like, which one is it? And also, you can't treat every situation the same way. Right. I think when you respect somebody, you're giving them the opportunity to choose for themselves. I feel like for me, he already decided she was going to react badly
right.
and then decided to go about it that way and sealed his fate.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's he tried to use past experiences, even though you're right, you shouldn't take past baggage to new relationships. That's just human nature. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to find out that, I don't know, I shave my head every day, not every week. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they think I'm different. So I was trying to rock with Carlton. I was trying to say, hey, look, he opened his heart. He cried in front of his fiance, and then she was saying, you know, let me know what I feel. But what I didn't understand was saying, I feel betrayed.
I feel betrayed that
you were, and then he was like, you're basic and all that. It's like you went from being correct and being open to being defensive, not throwing names at the person you want to spend your life with.
Yeah, he took it there first with the names, which I thought was extremely disrespectful. Like, he tried to say her reaction was being disrespectful, but he was being blatantly disrespectful, calling her names, and I didn't like that he tried to play the victim.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to express that a situation is tough for you, that you're hurting too. It's a two-way street with sharing emotions and secrets this big, but I don't like that. And the reason why I brought up what he said before is that I don't like that he tried to make her feel so bad for reacting the way she did when I didn't think it was that bad.
Right.
When he clearly said that other people have done this to him before.
True.
It doesn't make it right that people have reacted that badly to him. But in this situation where she's very clearly trying to just understand where he's coming from and just be heard at the very least, to then make her seem like a bad person and seem like she's shitting on him, I thought it was so messed up. Like, he was, like, gaslighting her.
Yeah, you know what? That's a very, very serious issue, and I think that's a very, the impetus of that. It's very small, very, very measured gaslighting. And here's the thing about Carlton I don't quite understand, though. Because you could argue, not defending him, but you can argue that on these dates in the pods, there is no way for that to come up, right? Past girlfriends and boyfriends, you can probably say yes. But assuming it's all just getting to know you and not saying it. And you can say, well, fairly early in this fiance period that he said what he said. And I was on board with that. I was like, fine, Carlton, it was a perfect time, one-on-one, face-to-face, eye contact to eye contact. Your mate deserves that with something this big. But the moment you start throwing rings and making fun of her appearance and all that, you've lost all credibility. So I think I was on the board, the Carlton train, the longest. And I
think you were too.
Okay. All right, Carlton, you ruined it for me, man.
Yeah, I mean, when she took off the ring, I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. And then he started calling her the B word. He was talking about her wig. And I was like, oof, this is so low. It's just...
She fought back, though.
She did. She had some clapbacks in the vault. She was ready. the petty side of me was kind of living for it. But, no, I just think, period, in an argument, when you resort to name-calling, I just feel like you don't have a point.
Sure.
You're getting defensive. And to me, you lost after that.
Yeah.
I just felt like there was no coming back from that. And there was no coming back from that. They decided to leave the island separately. At the island, Mexico. Yeah. Sorry.
And not one Lachey stopped them.
One Lachey. There was no stopping that ship. It is sailed. And we, like I said, we had our first big major conflict on the show. And, a couple went bye-bye. I called it. I didn't think everything was going to work out perfectly.
That's true.
But after that brief intermission of drama, we get back to the love.
Aww.
Your favorite theme.
I love it because it's blind, see?
So we get to the juicy, juicy part that we've been waiting for on this panel. If you've been watching our show, we speculated about this a lot last episode about what the dynamic would be like when the couples finally all meet face-to-face.
Right.
Did it deliver?
Yes. Everyone played their role perfectly. It was kind of interesting how they played it up because I thought they would have known who they were by now. But I was like, oh, yeah, they wouldn't know who was who. And when the names dropped, body language city. We saw everyone reacting the same way they did. It was perfect.
Oof. Yeah. A lot of people were telling on themselves with these reactions. Lost my note for a second. They're all at this mixer, basically. It's just like an outside little party. And before they start talking, Vanessa Lachey pops in, so we know she's hosting.
Hey.
And she tells the couples to start thinking about you know, how race, religion, ethnicity, all that's going to come into play in the real world.
Mm.
So keeping that in mind, it's like, can I see myself with this person long term?
True.
Did I make a mistake?
Also true.
Should I have been with someone else? Dun, dun, dun. Leading us to the guys and girls kind of talking separately. The guys are kissing and telling a lot.
Yeah. Okay, here's the deal about kissing and telling if you're a gentleman. One,
please.
Gentlemen, don't do it. True gentlemen, don't do it. They'll just say, you had a nice time, and you know what happened. You always do Vegas, right? If you're going to be the kind of guy to sit there and talk about details, don't start by saying, I don't want to kiss and tell, but. Because you look like trashy as hell doing that. I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, the guys were really putting it all out there. As a female viewer, I was like, man, this is locker room talk. And yeah. we're just privy to it.
Yeah. You got to decide which one you want to be. You want to be locker room talk guy or gentleman guy?
I mean, the girls weren't exactly bashful either.
Yeah.
We had our girl talk, the yeses, and the, ooh, girl, are you sleeping with this person? Oh, we stayed up till 4 a.m. People were dropping.
That was perfect.
Yeah. People were dropping little, you know.
Yeah.
Hints here and there. Gigi, again, reiterating that she hasn't had sex in forever. But instead, 435 days or 365?
It was so good, the clock went back. That's how dope it was. No, I can't trust her now. I don't know how many days has it actually been.
Point is, she got satisfied.
I guess so. Props to that.
But what we're really getting to is the dynamic between Jessica, Amber, Mark, and Barnett.
Can't be really into the Nuguera in a quick second, but I want to pour it out for Mark because he's my patron saint. I think that his heart is going to be dragged 8 different directions.
Yeah. Go ahead. I mean, I think that's what they're kind of teasing us at this point. But Jessica very quickly recognizes that the other women are a lot more excited about their relationships. She says that off camera in an interview.
Why should it matter, though? If you love this person, Mark, the guy you chose, shouldn't matter what other people think about their other boyfriends
and
boyfriends.
But she doesn't, though. That's why it matters.
Right. And this is why this is the movie of the week right here. Because Mark sees that, especially later on when they meet up together and they cross meet. And he's like, I won't let her go away. And that's how a guy becomes evil. Because she got strung along for so long, he thinks she's in 100%. And poor guy's being led astray to totally destructive behavior.
Yeah, and I think he's just so caught up on, like, not losing in this sense. It seems like a very win-loss thing to him, at least with the verbiage that he's using.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad because he's so caught up in that he doesn't realize, like, I don't think in love you should be in a situation where there's this, like, scarcity mindset. Like, oh my God, I don't want to lose her. Like, yeah, you should feel like you don't want to lose your partner, but you should also feel like they're in it with you. And
Wait, Mark's the bad guy here?
No, I'm not saying he's a bad guy at all. Yeah. I'm just feeling bad for him. That's all I'm saying. Like, I wish he could see his worth.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't be accepting, like, because there's a difference between it being a slow burn and, you know, you guys are having a certain timeline. But I think we're both getting the vibe that that's not the case. I think she's trying to get out of it.
She's trying to get out of it. Things. I'm not sure if, because even Amber was turning to Lady Macbeth for a second and was like, you ain't coming after my man. That was kind of weird. Yeah. Not sure it's going to be a fight or anything. But let's say Jessica goes over and pulls Barnett. Just to say, I doubt it. But let's say that happens. Now, you've destroyed two couples just to be that person to get what you want. And now Mark's going to take his guitar off into the sunset. And for what? Because of the guy you have in your mind physically? The whole point of Love is Blind is an experiment, sure. And we know that physical things are important to it. I'm not saying that in real life, but personality matters. This guy is devoted to you. Is not devotion the tenet of love we want the most out of our mates? Christine, tell me. Do we want that?
Something I want. Devotion, honesty, love.
Well, you can't have that because Barnett doesn't have that. But he has some abs and some chest and some arms.
Yeah, he's got that down for the girls. But, you know, the interesting thing, Jessica literally flat out says that her connection with Barnett will never be matched. And if I remember correctly, I think she just said connection, not physical.
Yeah, yeah, because
or emotional.
Can't be.
It's just like all of it. Like, and so that to me is a bigger red flag. And I don't think it's something that should be overlooked, especially because we kind of end off again with what you said.
Yeah.
Amber having that moment, I think, is foreshadowing, saying like, it's laughable that Jessica would even think she could take Barnett from me. That's always like what you say before your man gets taken from you.
Jessica's an infatuation. She found her dream boy type or dream girl type and had a conversation with them. And so you latch onto that as being true love. That is bad news. And Amber, I'm not a fan of her now, especially that weird, like, Maleficent promo she cut. But yeah, she has no reason for that because she said herself that Barnett and her have a good connection. Maybe the most solid one.
She's confident, maybe a little overly confident. We don't know, but he thus far has chosen her. So I guess she's in the right to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Jessica, on the other hand, seems like she's plotting. It seemed like they were flirting a little bit when they did finally break the ice and talk to each other at the mixer. Enough that Mark felt the need to come over and basically pee on her and be like, this is mine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So
that's one way to mark your territory.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely, it was a clear message going there.
I've never been peed on a date before. I'm letting you know. That's how I roll.
No, no mark territory. Peeing. You know what I mean, guys. Figure of speech. And that's where the episode really ends. Again, some foreshadowing. I predict, like, this is going to be, I think this is going to be the main source of drama and tension going forward now that we've gotten rid of Diamond and Carlton. Like, yeah. That was the only potential other bomb to drop.
Right.
Now it's about what's going to happen between these three.
I might be kind of bold. I might be wrong. But what if this breaks up Mark and Jessica? That could be a prediction.
Ooh, that's a hot one right there.
I mean, hey, it's a long season, but I think it could happen.
Well, all right, we'll see what happens next week, or next episode, rather. Before we get out of here, we're going to go through our special segment really quickly. We're still working out what we want to do with it, but right now we are going to rate our couples on chemistry from 1 to 5. We're going to go ahead and start with Giannina and Damien. 5 being wicked hot chemistry, oh, 1 God. Being... no.
I will say 3. And 3.5 can do halves?
We can do halves.
I'm going to do 3.5, and here's why. Because they enjoy their time together. That's very, very important. They seem to be in sync, and they are kissing very, very well. But it's hard to say if that chemistry is because of the fact it's such a new relationship. Mm-hmm. I haven't been sold on the lovey-dovey eyes for the long term.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. I'm going to go a solid 3.5 there, because it can swing either way. Uh-huh. For Kelly and Kenny, I'm going to give them a solid... I'm going to give them a 4 in terms of chemistry, just because I feel like they are what they want.
Yeah, they go together like vanilla and those little specks in the vanilla.
Yes. Yeah. Lauren and Cameron, I'm going to give them a 5.
5+.
5, yeah, they got it.
And the bonnet.
And the bonnet. Carlton and Diamond get a 1 because they were not matched.
Yeah, it's almost like a non-rating.
No, nothing, yeah. You're out. Yeah. And who do we have left? Oh, Jessica and Mark.
Woo, can I do a 2 there? I feel like Mark is all about it. He's being the open, poetic guy, even to the point he's being creepy about it. But Jessica's not all in, and that's major.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And then, again, Barnett and Amber.
So that's a tough one for me. I'm going to go with a 3.5 here, too. They have the physical thing like down. They have a good, decent conversation there. I'm not sure how deep it goes, but we'll see. This, Jessica, may be the test that either keeps them bonded together or breaks them apart.
Yeah, I think they have a 5 in terms of, I'll say, physical chemistry. That'll be my caveat. I think where he might end up having more emotional chemistry will be with Jessica if they continue to explore things as friends.
Friends.
We'll see how long that lasts. But yeah. We'll have to wait till next episode to find out. Oh, God, Netflix, you're blessing us with these episodes. Yeah. Giving us to us in chunks so we can digest it all and break it all down here with you. But until our next recap, you guys can keep up with us on social media.
Sure.
Flobo, where can everyone find you?
You can find me over at Twitter, at Flobo Boys, on Instagram, at Flobito, and Flobito.com. And if you love me commentating people fighting, I do the Monday Night Raw after show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
All right. And you guys can find me every Monday hosting the Bachelor After Show. It has been so good this season, man. And of course, here hosting the Love is Blind After Show. But on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Christine Bean and on Instagram at Christine I. Alexis. We'll see you next week.
Our founder, Christine Kevin Bean. Anazaro, next and episode, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.